Holy Spirit to fall mightily upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. This we ask in the name of the risen Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me in our Bibles to John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. In the Red Pew Bible, this is page 1154. Page 1154. So according to John's Gospel, this is the account of the first appearance that Jesus has with the disciples, and it's on the evening of the day of resurrection. So we pick up John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." This is the word of the Lord. And today we celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, the day when the promised Holy Spirit came upon the disciples with a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and divided tongues of fire appeared to them, resting on each one of them. What an amazing event that was. And the outward manifestation of that was that the disciples began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, such that people from all different parts of the world could hear them speaking in their own native language. Now, some people were amazed and wondered what this meant. Clearly, this seemed to be a hand of God upon them. But others mocked them and said, "These guys are just drunk, filled with new wine." Just one of the amazing things in this story, that some people can be so aware that something is happening by God, and others are just totally oblivious to it. I've heard, again, the classic thing is two people walk out of church and somebody says, "Wow, that was the most powerful sermon I've ever heard." And the other person says, "I didn't understand a thing the guy was saying." Amazing. Amazing. And so they have this different interpretation by different people. Some think this is amazing. Others say, "No, these guys are just drunk." But Peter then, filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, he was a fisherman, untrained in the words and public speaking. Filled with the Holy Spirit, went out and boldly preached the good news of Jesus Christ. And we are told there were added that day about 3,000 souls. 3,000 souls in one day. Wow, that sounds amazing. And it is amazing. Except... this is this other side of me. See, left brain, right brain. This is the other side of me. I'm like, "Wow, okay, 3,000, that's great, except at that time there would have been well over 100,000 people in Jerusalem, because the Feast of Pentecost was the Jewish Feast of Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, one of the three principal Jewish feasts of the year. There would have been thousands and thousands, some estimates were 200,000 people would have flooded the city for that feast. And so Jerusalem would have been full of visitors from all over the world, as we heard. The Jews from all over the world had gathered together, and they hear these apostles, disciples speaking in their own tongue. And yet we're told that less than 3% heard this message, received it, and responded to it. So again, just a different way of saying 3,000. Wow, that's great. Can you imagine preaching today and getting 3,000 people? And yet, what if we preached to 100,000 and less than 3% would respond? We'd probably be disappointed. Well, we never should be disappointed even one person comes. But you see what my point is? There were over 100,000 people in the city, and there was only 3,000 that received this message and said something is happening here and responded to it in faith. Now, there's two points I would like to make here. First is we need to remember as believers that the vast majority of people in this world have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior or do not live with Jesus as the Lord of their lives. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, "The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." How sad. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Wow. So when we watch the news, when we see all the corruption, and the lying, and even the violence on the news, we need to remember that these people, by and large, do not have the Holy Spirit, or they would not be doing the things that they're doing, particularly the lies and the deceit. They do not have the Holy Spirit. Now, that's something that has interested me for a number of years. I remember I was teaching a class one time at Young Harris College. I was a teaching on evil and the love of God. And it was a class of maybe, 15, 20 people. And so I shared with them my worldview of believing that God created the world. The Bible was the word of God. It was true. Jesus was the Son of God. That's where I'm coming from. And there was one guy there, a very learned guy. And we were just like we were talking different language. And it was kind of hard, you know, to teach that way when you've got someone that's just coming from a different place. And I didn't realize it at the time, but looking back, I realized this was the difference of the Holy Spirit. He did not have the same worldview. He did not believe as a Christian. A very learned, very nice guy, but we didn't share that. And it was kind of a new experience actually at that point, because usually you know, I talk to people who are here because you want to be here. But this was something different. It was very much surprising to me. Last week, I was watching an interview with Ravi Zacharias and Ben Shapiro. Ravi Zacharias just went to be with the Lord a couple weeks ago. Great teacher, apologist of the Christian faith. Great ministry going on college campuses and talking to these young people to show them that Christianity is not only real, but it's reasonable. It's reasonable. And so he's having this interview by Ben Shapiro, who's a great guy. A wonderful patriot, happens to be Jewish. And one of the things they're talking about was Jesus. Like, we're both great guys, but what's the difference between us? It's Jesus. We just have a different belief about Jesus. And Rabbi Zacharias, I think, was trying to be gracious, you know. He didn't want to, offend. And, I mean, again, Ben Shapiro's a great guy, you know, very, very decent guy, caring, loving guy. And Rabbi Zacharias would talk about how he would interact with Jews and rabbis, and he knew this one particular rabbi was very well known in Jerusalem, and they would talk about difference of faith. And this finally, this rabbi said to Rabbi, he says, "Rabbi, we both have one thing in common." He says, "We are both seeking the same thing, and that is communion with God. We're both seeking communion with God." And Rabbi's like, "Yes, you know, we both believe the same thing. You know, we really share a lot and all that." And it kind of left me with a sense like, well, Ravi, then what difference does it make? What difference does it make? You got nice people out there who don't accept Jesus, decent, caring people, help the poor, help people who are in need, but they don't accept Jesus. They don't have the Holy Spirit. And so it was something that made it just kind of, you know, worked on my brain, you know, a lot of wondering. What really is the difference, visible difference in the world today between those who have the Holy Spirit and those who do not, which is the vast majority of people? And so it is amazing to me, with all the people out there who do not accept Jesus, who do not, by our belief in the Bible, do not have the Holy Spirit, it's actually amazing, not that there's so much violence and bad things in the world, but the fact that there's so much good in the world. There's so much good. And there are a lot of good, decent people who don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so that leads me to my second point. There are those people, Jesus said, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it neither sees him nor knows him. John chapter 14, verse 17. The world cannot receive him. So this is the world that we live in. Lots of good, decent, caring people. So what's the difference between them and us who have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us? What difference does the Holy Spirit make? That's the question. Well, in one word, I believe the work of the Holy Spirit is about power. Power. Jesus told his disciples, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's what we're celebrating today, the Feast of Pentecost. Holy Spirit came upon them and they had power. The first example of that was Peter boldly going out and being able to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that power of proclamation. But there are other powers, and it's more than I could list all of them, but I would say that one of the greatest powers is the power to forgive. Think of that, the power to forgive. How many people there are in the world that just can't seem to bring themselves to be able to forgive someone. And yet we're given this power of the Holy Spirit. In our reading from John 20, Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And immediately after that, he talks about forgiveness. He says, if you forgive those who sinned against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive them. If you don't let it go, you will still be bound by it. If you release it, it's gone. If you hold on to it, you will still be bound. That power is of the Holy Spirit, the power to forgive. Another thing Jesus said, the power of repentance, the power to repent, the power to turn away from the things of the world, and the power to seek God. The power to know sin is actually a very important work of the Holy Spirit. We're told again in John's Gospel that one of the things the Holy Spirit does is convict the world of sin and of judgment. And so those who come to Christ, one of the first things we can be overwhelmed by is our sense of sinfulness. Like, oh my goodness, before I thought I was fine, but now I just feel, you know, this weight of things that I've done, and I do things I used to do before, and it didn't bother me, but now I do these things and it bothers me. You know, I just feel bad, and that's actually a good thing. It's the Holy Spirit in us convicting us of our sin, which is exactly what the law was intended to do, convict us that we are sinners, which means we are then in need of a Savior. As Jesus said, only those who are sick have need of a physician. And in the world today, there's lots of people in this world who have no sense of sinfulness before God. So what do they need a Savior for if they don't see themselves as being sinners? I think we kind of take it for granted because it's so common to us to say, yeah, I know I'm a sinner. I know I do things and have done things. And we think that, well, everybody must be like that. No, they're not. It's the Holy Spirit in us convicting us that we need a Savior. Because there are so many people in the world who do not have that sense of conviction. So we thank God for it, that the Holy Spirit working in us brings us that conviction, which then leads us to faith in Jesus Christ. That is a power of repentance. And then I believe there's the power of truth. Jesus said, the Spirit of truth will come, and he will guide you into all truth. Again, I think it's something that we take for granted. Like between Rabbi Zacharias and Ben Shapiro, to Rabbi, it was so clear. You know, God created the world. You know, man rebelled against God. Somehow, the world had to be reconciled to God. God had to take on human flesh and die for the sins of the people. That just seems so clear to us. But yet to others, it's not. It's not clear to them at all. They simply can't understand it, can't accept it. What's the difference? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of truth is in us, leading us and guiding us into all truth. And that is a difference between us and the world. Another power is the power of the assurance of salvation. This is so huge. We can be dealing with all kinds of things in the world, but we know deep down one day all this is going to be done away with. Jesus is going to come back. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more evil in the world. One day things will be as they were meant to be. That's what's called peace, shalom. We have that assurance of salvation, and it is ours in the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit has sealed us. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance. It's like a down payment, a guarantee of our inheritance. It's the Holy Spirit living in us. So we have that assurance, which means we can endure the things of this world because we know it's only temporary. One day it will pass away and all things will be set as they were originally meant to be. The power of assurance of salvation. And the last one I want to mention is the power of peace, which passes understanding. In the midst of whatever we have going on, we who have the Spirit in us can have a sense of peace despite the chaos going on in the world. Because we know that God is in control. We know that God has a plan. We know that God has not forsaken us. And so in the midst of a world that's going into chaos, we can have that peace within us, which Paul says passes understanding. Beyond human understanding, the people would come and say, how do you Christians have such a sense of peace when you see all the stuff going on? Or all the things going on in our lives? And they say, how can you have a sense of peace? I say, well, let me tell you about Jesus and the Holy Spirit living in me. That's a huge difference that we have. And it is ours because of the Holy Spirit. So yes, there are lots of good, decent unbelievers in the world. But we have power that they do not have. Well, that's the sermon. That's the teaching. And as I do with these, you know, God gives me this teaching. I write it out and then I kind of mull over it. I'm like, Lord, what's the application? What does it mean? How can we take this and apply it in our lives, in our church, and in the world? And I have to say, I come with kind of a remorse that we don't see more of this power being released in our lives and in the church. You know, kinds of things we saw back in the early church, you know, the people, you know, literally being healed of paralysis, jumping up, leaping, and praising God. They would bring all the sick to the disciples and they would heal them all. The word was being proclaimed in a way that just convict people's hearts and thousands upon thousands of people were coming to the knowledge of the truth. And so I've kind of had that sense that I wish there was more of a manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit around us. Particularly since I believe we're trying to preach the gospel. And in the early church it said that to affirm the truth that was being spoken, God would grant signs and wonders. To affirm the truth that's being spoken. So I'm trying like, okay, I'm proclaiming truth, the gospel of Jesus, Jesus crucified. I'd love to see signs and wonders and people saying, oh, that must have been right. That must have been true because we're seeing these heavenly signs and wonders that are being poured out upon. I wish there were more of that. That's my human side. I wish we saw more of that. The other regret I have comes that we know people who are struggling. People who know Jesus, they have the Holy Spirit, and they're going through so much struggle in their lives. Some of it's physical, some of it's just hardships, emotional things, things about relationships. Some of it's financial things, burdens just weigh on us. And some families just seem to have it and have it and have it. And you're like, oh my goodness, what's happening? It just seems to be piled on and piled on. And I wonder, how do people like that receive a teaching like this? I tell them about the power of the Holy Spirit as the Gospels. And people can rightly say, well, where is it in my life? Where is it around us? The things we're looking at on television. What's happened to our nation? Where's the Holy Spirit? We are a godly nation. One nation under God. And so I have those kinds of reactions to this. And I bring them to the Lord. I bring them honestly, I hope. And one thing the Lord has told me and convicted me with is that it is the sense of power and presence and peace is a gift of the Holy Spirit. I can't make it happen. We can't make it happen. The Holy Spirit falls upon us. When the early disciples were praying, the building shook. The presence of the Holy Spirit came so powerfully on them. The building was shaking. They go out and they're proclaiming all these things and speaking in these other tongues, these signs and manifestations, people being healed. It is something the Holy Spirit does. We can't make it happen. We can prepare the soil. But ultimately, it's God, the Holy Spirit, is going to decide either to do it or to not. And to fall upon us this morning, I would love to be able to say, I just pray that a power falls upon all of us right here. We're proclaiming gospel, we're proclaiming truth, just that you would have a sense just fill you and just start shaking. It's just like, wow, I just feel such a sense of the power of the Holy Spirit. I wish I could make that happen. And I can't. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so we just have to offer it to the Lord. We ask, and then we give it to him. The other thing about people who are continuing to struggle, I took that to the Lord and he led me to another scripture passage. That's the Holy Spirit too. I mean, here I am complaining, right? And yet he's still guiding me the whole time and leading me through this. So he leads me to, he said, remember about Paul? Remember Paul went to the church in Corinth? And he goes to them, and you know, Paul, we think of this, oh, he must have been a great orator. He must have had a powerful preacher. Imagine listening to a sermon by Paul. And yet we read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. This is Paul writing. I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Paul evidently was not such a great preacher. For I decided to know nothing except among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all we have to say. That's Paul said, that's the message I've got, folks. You want great oratory? I tell you, Jesus and him crucified. He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. This is not a giant man of God that we would envision. This is a weak guy who's got problems and fear and stumbles and doesn't have these lofty words and this great oratory skill. But he has the truth, Jesus Christ and him crucified. He says, my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom. Nothing to people talk about and say, wow, wasn't that a great sermon? He says, my speech was not in plausible words of wisdom, get this, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Paul says, I came to you. I was weak. I was beaten down. I was hurting. I tried to do the best I could. I'm not a great public speaker, but I know the truth of Jesus Christ. And because of that truth, God affirmed it. And there were signs and wonders and people were healed. And you knew that what I spoke to you was not because of my words, it was because you saw the power being manifested. And so your faith does not rest on my words, but it rests on the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I'm like, that's what I want. That's what I long for. The people say, you know, Don, that was a great sermon, but it wasn't the words. It wasn't the words. But there was such a sense of the power of the Holy Spirit that came upon us when you were speaking. And that really affirmed to me that what you're saying is true. Jesus is real. He died for my sins. He was raised. He now lives at the right hand of the Father, and he has sent his Holy Spirit to be in us, to live among us, to guide us into all truth. Wow. Wow. What a message. What a message that is. So, does the Holy Spirit make a difference? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, he does. The other message that came across this, too, I'm like, again, why aren't we seeing more of it? Because we see Paul coming, and it was in his weakness that the power of the Holy Spirit was manifested. I think there were two, I'll say mistakes, but two things we do that are not biblical. And one is when we see people who are hurting, we see people who are suffering, what is our prayer? Take it away. Take it away, Lord. Stop them. We don't want them to be suffering. We want them to be comfortable. They're going through a difficult. Please take it away, Lord. Don't make them suffer. Don't make them struggle. And it's like God saying, wait a minute, I'm trying to do something here. Oh, no, Lord, take it away. Just take it away. You know, bring a healing, but all that. I'm trying to do something here. And so I think that's a normal first reaction, very normal. And by the way, we are told to ask for healing, and that's very true, and we do that. We ask for comfort. Our prayers are given. The Bible tells us that. But what I believe is this, is when that prayer is not answered in the way we expect, somebody's struggling, we pray for it, and it seems that God is not intervening, we need to then look back and I believe say, okay, in our weakness, the power of the Spirit of God will be manifested. And so if somebody's going on and the prayer's not being answered, we continue to struggle maybe ourselves, we need to ask ourselves, okay, in my weakness, what the scriptures say, God's power will be manifested. And instead of praying against it myself and kind of looking inward, is to say, okay, I'm feeling weak, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling lost. This is an opportunity for the power of the Holy Spirit to be manifested in my life and to the lives of those around me. And so do I look for that and say, okay, I'm feeling beaten down, but you know what? God's going to be glorified in this. And we're going to give him all the pleasure, all the grace, all the credit. So again, I think we as a church, we could see more powerful things happening if we would look at weakness and hardship not as something to be just taken away by God, yes, but yes, we still pray for that, but as opportunities that God's going to use this in some powerful way. The Holy Spirit is going to be manifested in a great and amazing way because it is in our weakness that God is shown to be strong by His Holy Spirit. So, I really feel bad for people who continue to struggle. Yet I do believe we need to look at that and say, where's an opportunity for the Spirit's power to be manifested here? We need this power. We need it in the church. We need it in the world. Look at these riots that are happening. Politicians lying, the deceit, the corruption around. We wonder, my goodness, what's happening? Well, they don't. That's what happens when a world that doesn't have the Holy Spirit. We look at things in our own lives, and we wonder, why is God allowing this? His purpose, His plan, to show His power in the Holy Spirit. So my brothers and sisters, it makes a difference. The power is real, manifested in many, many ways, especially in our weakness. And so in that sense, we thank God that He has given us these things, that His power would be made perfect in us. The kingdom of God is at hand. The Spirit is moving. Aslan is on the move. The best truly is yet to come, because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the gift of Your Holy Spirit, the gifts of Your Spirit, and the fruit of Your Spirit. And Father, we just pray that as You work in our lives, in our church, in our country, in the world, that we would proclaim truth and that You would affirm that by signs and wonders that just affirm to people the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, just help us to be open vessels, willing vessels, and yet vessels made of clay, broken vessels, that Your power be manifested through our weakness, that all will be to Your glory. We pray this in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.